Welcome, everyone. This is The Natural Alternative with Madonna Guy. I am so delighted to have James Roguski in here this morning. Welcome, James.
Thank you for having me. It's actually evening the day before here in California, but it all works across the Pacific.
It surely does. Now, we're going to chat about the international health regulations that it was the 13th of January, the 194 member nations needed to have their amendments in for the IHR. So tell us about what you've been finding out.
Well, actually, it was September 30th that the nations were supposed to have submitted their documents. Malaysia and Korea came in a little bit late, but I don't think it mattered. And Japan also submitted documents that have become invisible. I'll be darned if they can be found anywhere. But a total of 16 nations on behalf of nearly 100 nations. I haven't actually sat and added them all up, but the European Union, all of the nations of the African region, groups for the Russian Federation and South America, they all submitted proposed amendments to something that, quite frankly, a year ago, I had never heard of, the international health regulations. And after digging into them for nearly a year, I finally realized that they've got nothing to do with health. They are really the international surveillance regulations. And when you read through them and you come to find out what they really, really are about, it suddenly is not a surprise that there is no discussion of health going on. There is no consideration of whether the choices that were made and the directives that were given actually worked, because they're not talking about people's health. They're talking about surveillance, monitoring, reporting, control, emergency declarations, and, quite frankly, fear-mongering, yes, in order to give themselves more power to have more control, to do things that don't work. Now, it'd be one thing if they were absolutely brilliant and all of the advice that they ever gave saved lives and, just was, perfect. But exactly the opposite is what happened. And strangely enough, their solution to all of the horrors that have happened over the last 3 years is, oh, it's only because they didn't have enough power and control. And if you just give them more power, more control, and a lot more money, then, according to them, everything will be okay. And the horrors that are in these proposed amendments are really exactly that. They're horrible. But over and above that, there is no public comment. There is no public discussion. There is no consideration of such a thing. And so it appears that since they're working on two separate documents, and I'm only going to really be talking about one of those two, I'm not going to be talking about the proposed pandemic treaty. That seems very much like a decoy and a distraction. And if only for one reason, is that when people hear the word treaty, they think, oh, well, somebody's going to have to sign that or approve it or whatever the phrase might be. In the United States, the Senate would give its advice and consent. The president would ratify it. Okay, we are not talking about that. That process is not involved in the international health regulations, because we are already a party, and every other nation in the WHO is already a party and has been for decades to the IHR. That was all really kind of begun as sanitary regulations when the World Health Organization began in the 40s. And they changed the name in 1969, and there were a number of amendments in 2005, but it's an existing document. And so, according to Article 21 and 22 of their constitution, once the World Health Assembly gets together in May and adopts whatever changes, that's all that's needed. There would not be a needed signature. There would not be any sort of Senate or parliamentary approval. And for anybody who questions that, it's really very simple. They adopted amendments last year. Did you see anybody have to sign it? Did you see anybody go through Parliament and have to approve it. Okay. Now, what happened last year was the Biden administration tried to put forth changes to 13 different articles in the regulations, and the Biden amendments were pretty much kicked to the curb and not even brought up, you know, for consideration. A totally different set of amendments, I think, illegitimately, were presented and adopted. And so for anybody who says, oh, they're going to have a vote or whatever, just go look up what happened last year. They adopted amendments to five articles, and that's just what it is. There's no parliamentary approval, no signature, no discussion in the media. You know, the vast majority of everybody couldn't even find that document if they tried. It's all over my, you know, articles and such. But this is something that they say that they have no intention of adopting this year. They say that they're shooting for 2024. And I'm absolutely going to hold them to that, but even beyond, because they're not going to adopt it this year. We're just not going to let them. And when people come to understand what this is, they're never going to adopt it, because they simply want to change the fundamental nature and the relationship of the WHO to the rest of the nations of the world. And they want it to be control rather than just recommendations.
Right. And that is what will happen when these, if these amendments go through, like that will.
Well, I'm not going to speak that into existence. I'm going to say that what they have proposed, just to get into some of the meat of it, Bangladesh proposed changing the definition of two words, standing recommendations and temporary recommendations. And, you know, a recommendation is just that. You tell somebody, oh, you know, I think you ought to do this, right? And the definition says currently that it is non-binding advice. That's what a recommendation is. Bangladesh would cross out the phrase non-binding. Huh. Now, in the IHR, Article 15 and 16 are about temporary and standing recommendations. And so Malaysia put in their proposed documents that says in Article 42, I believe it is, that standing and temporary recommendations shall be implemented. Now, that's different than should be, or it's advised that they should be. And combined, what that does is it takes non-binding advice and turns it into essentially orders. If the dictator general of the World Hypnosis Organization, right, tells you you've got to do something, you know, now it's just a suggestion, it's a recommendation, it's advice, and you can ignore it if you want, right? But moving forward, what they're trying to put forth is to make that be mandatory or obligatory. And so that, unfortunately, is not the least of the concerns, although that is, you know, very concerning. In Article 2, they would seek to change the scope of the regulations from dealing with emergencies, which are ill-defined to begin with. But, you know, most people would say, well, if you actually have an emergency, you know, you have to deal with it, to something that would just be, have the potential to be an emergency. And so that just opens up the door wide to declare what they call a public health emergency of international concern for any reason whatsoever. So, I mean, changing the scope from dealing with emergencies to dealing with things that have the potential to be an emergency is a big change. The third and the most egregious change in the list is to Article 3, which a year ago when I first read the international health regulations and I got down to Article 3, it says that the core principle, Article 3 is about the principles of the regulations. And the first principle is that they should be implemented with full respect for the dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. And when I read that a year or so ago, I was like, well, you know, that sounds okay. I'm okay with that. India proposed an amendment that would just cross that out. And so when I first saw that, my jaw was hanging open and I was like, well, that's ridiculous. But then I looked at it again, and I'm an optimist. And when you're given lemons, you squeeze them and make lemonade. I was like, that's so bad that it's actually a blessing, because anybody who would look at that and not say, well, wait just a minute. Okay. You think we're going to let you just cross out respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms? If you can't get people to push back against that, and you can't look at an organization that would actually put that in print, right? Actually put that in a document. And if that is not enough to awaken people to what the heck is going on, well, then they will not be awakened.
Yeah.
That's true. So let them, you know, let them sleep and move on, go talk to somebody else. But for the most part, everybody that I have spoken to, when they see that, they're just like, that's crazy. We're not going to put up with that.
And it's so, one thing looking at a third world country and removing dignity from, you know, the position of some affluence or, you know, in a country where you can't even imagine that being a thing.
Well, it's the kind of thing that Australia in particular, okay, other nations like Canada and the United Kingdom, and obviously many, 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 many other nations, did not submit any amendments.
Okay.
And so one point of view, now the United States did, so that's a different situation. But from an Australian perspective, or Canada, or the UK, or like I said, many other nations, what are all of the other nations doing working together to give all of this authority to the WHO, which then if a simple majority were to adopt it, it would infringe upon the rights of the people of Australia or any of these other nations. And so with the United States, you know, we have to look in the mirror at our own delegates, because they started this whole darn thing. And interestingly enough, because this is the second go around, you know, we pushed back against this last year. And when we did so, we sent a lot of letters to Congress and the Senate, and some of the replies that we received documented and gave evidence for what was suspected, which was the amendments actually were started under the Trump administration. And the Republicans who responded to our letters were proud, and they were supporting the Biden administration's efforts because in their mind, it was started under Trump, which it was. Okay. And so you go, man, you know, you don't even really have two parties. They're all working together to give power away from the people to these, you know, international organizations. And so some of the other things, just to get into a little bit more of the details, in Article 13A that they're proposing, they would have the Director General, after declaring an emergency just because there's potentially something that could be an emergency.
Like monkeypox.
Exactly. Except the K is silent. I call it moneypox. And so that's what it is. It only generally occurred in nations that have a lot of money, not nations that have a lot of monkeys. Okay. And so what Article 13A would seek to do would give the Director General the authority, and it would command him to create an allocation mechanism, okay? And essentially it would give them the control of the means of production of all of the nations of the world in the pharmaceutical, hospital, emergency, industrial complex. And he could say to nation A, well, you have to make these required products, pharmaceuticals, whether it's drugs or injectables, and give them to country B. And so, now, you know, I'm all for people helping people and nations helping nations. I mean, you know, kumbaya, and everybody should work together to make the world a better place. But why in the world would Tedros Ghebreyesus be the person who should decide all of the production of medications and treatments and command, you know, nation A to give something to nation B? It's not qualified for that in any way, shape, or form. And no one person should be given that power, regardless of their qualifications. But that's what's in these proposed amendments. Now, probably the most obvious one that would impact just about everybody on the planet The cat was let out of the bag by the Indonesian health minister, who's not a doctor. He's a banker. Okay. Yes. At the G20 in Bali in November, I believe it was, he stated very clearly that Indonesia had submitted amendments whereby they would seek a global digital health certificate. And he said that they wanted to push that through in May of 2023. Now, maybe he just misspoke. Maybe he was a little bit overzealous. Okay. But, you know, are they going to try to push this through this year? Well, what they ended up doing was, instead of the working group to consider amendments to the International Health Regulations, the WGIHR, instead of that group, which was supposed to be all of the nations, you know, negotiating what's going on, Tedros created a private review committee. It answers only to him. He has the power to do that under the International Health Regulations. And so he created a group of 18, you know, so-called experts who are not representing the nations or the people of the world. They are just there in their expert capacity to advise the director general. They met in secret in October, November, December, and then January. You mentioned the date. The last time they met was January 9th to the 13th. Totally confidential. They published reports from the first five meetings. And then on January 15th, they were scheduled to give their final report to Tedros on Sunday, January 15th, more than 2 weeks ago now. And that has just been secret. It's been over 2 weeks, and they have not published it. Now, last year, when the Biden administration proposed their amendments, it was never made public until April 12th. And then they were going to just try to ram it through. Okay. And so it's probably not dramatically different than the 46-page document that we currently have available. So what's the secret, WHO? Why are you keeping it secret? He would have been obligated to share it with each of the 194 nations to notify them 4 months in advance of the May assembly, which is scheduled to begin May 21st to the 30th. So it's highly likely that all of the delegates from every nation have received that final report and nobody's talking.
Right.
It's like, can we see what you're going to be talking about when you get together in May? We know you have it, right? We basically know what it is. And why isn't there public discussion? Why aren't there meetings? Why aren't there, you know, the opportunity for people to weigh in? And so whatever people believe should be done is not being listened to. And so I'm doing everything I can to raise awareness, and thank you for the opportunity to let people know. Been working very closely with some wonderful people around the world, but definitely in Australia. You guys are moving fast and very organized, and you're blessed to have at least a handful of politicians who, I'll put it nicely, can actually still put a couple of brain cells together and think for themselves, which is, you know, rare in the world these days. Senator Antic, Senator Roberts have spoken out publicly. Gerard Rennick, I believe, has written a letter. Couple other politicians have spoken privately in support, and I think that they will, you know, ultimately be coming out publicly in support of not doing this. Okay, but you know, the people are really what is going to make this happen. And so there's a wonderful group that I think is probably how I got to connect to you. I'm not exactly sure how we did get connected, but I think it was through the group that has put together AustraliaExitsTheWho.com.
Yes.
And the point of it is, stopping the amendments and stopping the treaty is, you know, vitally important. But when you're in a relationship with an abusive partner, at some point you realize that the other half of the relationship has gone bad, and you cannot negotiate with people who want to control you and control the world. And so ultimately the answer is it's time to exit the WHO because, I mean, just think about it. They're trying to change the core nature of a several decade old agreement. And it's kind of like if you were in some other partnership and your partner said, oh, no, you know what? I'm going to be in charge of everything now. You can just take a back seat and I'm going to be able to tell you what to do from now on. It's time to end that relationship. You know, it's not what it was originally designed to be. And anybody who would even attempt to do that doesn't deserve to be in a relationship with you or your country.
Yes. Yes. And we know there's so much behind these changes as well. You know, if Tedros says Madonna sneezed and we've got to shut down Southern California,
well, it's all your fault.
It's going to be his call. You know, it's bizarre, yeah, the power that he will have.
Right. And so, you know, I'm very optimistic because everyone who has looked at this has had pretty much the same response of, are they crazy? They're out of their minds. We're not going to let them do that. Okay. But I have to say, the situation that we all find ourselves in, right, is bizarre in the sense that there is this legally binding document. And I'll try to address a question that a lot of people have, because what little media there has been, there's already been fact checkers from Snopes who are manipulating the information and trying to confuse people. Yes, the international health regulations are a legally binding document. It says so right on the WHO's website and everywhere else you might care to look. But the current version doesn't make very many demands of the individual nations. Okay. And all in all, you know, it's a mixed bag in terms of, you know, my personal opinion of what it is right now. There's good and there's bad. You know, it says things like they're going to have respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms. You know, that's good, right? Its purpose was to monitor any kind of an outbreak or possibly, you know, a chemical spill or a radiation leak or something like that. And the whole purpose of it is nations are obligated to have what they call a focal point, which is just a point person to communicate, hey, you know, there's a problem here and it might spread to another nation. It could be a foodborne pathogen where, you know, maybe products were sold and they had some kind of contamination in them. And you alert the WHO, so they alert everybody in the world. That's a good thing. I don't have any real problems with that. And so there are requirements for monitoring and reporting and not much else, really not much else. Okay. And so when people say, oh, well, the regulations are already legally binding, this isn't going to change that. They're right. Okay. But the nature of what's inside the document, turning recommendations that are not binding into orders that are obligations that must be obeyed according to this legally binding agreement, having digital certificates for whatever the heck it is they say, okay, these are changes, you know, not to mention the scope of it to be just a potential of an emergency. And you know, forgetting about people's dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms. These are dramatic changes. There's 46 pages of changes to a document that is essentially 58 pages long. There's over 300 proposed amendments to 33 of the 66 articles. Plus, they want to make 6 new articles. And there are things called annexes. There's 9 of them. They want to make changes to 5 and create a whole new one. So, I mean, these are some very substantial changes that in my world, you know, this is not going to happen in May of 2023. You know, if I'm going to speak anything into existence, you know, with the power of, you know, what we want.
Yes.
Back in October, I saw this coming. And so I put together something called the People's Amendments. So if you go to thepeoplesamendments.com, These are the things that we should be fighting for, right? We should be fighting for more freedom and more rights and, you know, more respect for human dignity and all these other things. And so if they want to make some changes, you know, there's some ideas out there that people have. One of the things that really should be changed, and we're dealing with this a little bit here in the United States, once they declare an emergency, whether there is one or not, there's no way that the voice of the people can be heard to say, hey, that emergency is over and done with. We're done with that. Yeah. Okay. It's not like anybody needs to be alerted 3 years down the path. Oh, there might be, you know, something called COVID that you have to be concerned about. It's not an emergency anymore. We're all aware, right? It's not like, oh, there's a forest fire coming or a flood or a hurricane or something. You know, that's what an emergency is. Hey, there's a problem that you're not aware of and it might sneak up on you and you know, cause you trouble. After 3 years, we are all aware. I mean, is anybody on earth not aware? The emergency is over. Now you're
probably
just
people who don't have televisions.
I you know, I mean, there's it would be interesting to, you know, go off into the wild somewhere and find somebody who has no idea, right? And you know, they would be like, oh yeah, we had a cough, you know, last winter and it was a little bad, but we're okay, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Apparently yesterday was 3 years since the World Health Organization declared an emergency for COVID, and they said, and it's still important today.
Absolutely, because a lot of money flows because of it, okay? And so one of the things I found last year, and there's actually a lawsuit in with people in Oklahoma and Texas still fighting it. Going back to January 19th, 2017, okay, the CDC changed a couple of definitions in our regulations. And it ended up in what's known as the Federal Register, which is where all of the changes are supposed to be documented. And they changed two things. They changed the definition of non-invasive testing. Okay. And non-invasive means, you know, that they can look at your body or, you know, observe what's going on, but they cannot invade any part of it. Okay. Well, they changed the definition of non-invasive to include sticking something up your nose.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. And so they also changed the definition of a public health emergency, which is what can be declared by our health minister, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, to include not like facts or data or evidence or anything. If the World Health Organization says there's a public health emergency of international concern, then our health minister, with no other justification, can declare a public health emergency in the United States, which is exactly what happened with Moneypox. And so once that public health emergency is declared, it runs for 90 days, but then they've renewed it and renewed it and renewed it and renewed it. The laws that were passed spent enormous amounts of money, and it's all predicated on, so long as there is an active public health emergency, this money will be available. Okay. And so that, more than any reason, is why the public health emergencies never end, because the money is tied to the declaration of an emergency. And that actually goes all the way back to the Roman times, where if there was an emergency and problems needed to be dealt with, a person was put in charge, and they would be given power to tell everybody what to do, and they would dictate orders. So they were the dictator. Okay. But when it was all over and done, you know, they wrapped it up and they went home and things went back to normal. But what everybody seems to forget is declaration of an emergency be damned. Unalienable rights are still unalienable, emergency or not. And so, you know, the freedoms that we have just by virtue of being born, you know, being a human being on this planet, we have unalienable rights. Constitution or not, okay? People misunderstand the United States Constitution, okay? We didn't get our rights because of the Constitution. We have unalienable human rights from our Creator when the founding fathers of the United States formed a government or sought to form a government. In the Constitution, they gave certain authority to the federal government. And the Bill of Rights was just a clarification to say, look, we gave the powers that we gave, and we didn't give you this, and we didn't give you this, and we didn't give you this, 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 and this. And that doesn't mean the Bill of Rights gave us those rights. That was just for clarity's sake. It's like, look, you know we have all these rights as humans. Just to make sure you're not confused, we're putting it down on paper so that you don't think you can take these away from us.
Yeah.
And everybody on earth has fundamental human rights that have been trampled. And they're just, you know, trying to set it up so they can trample them further, literally to the point of crossing out the statement in the IHR that is the core principle that they would be implemented with respect for, let alone human rights, just dignity.
Yeah.
Just crossing out, you know, respect for your dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms. You know what? I don't think so. That's not going to happen. And anybody who looks at it, I think pretty much agrees.
It's hard to imagine 8 billion people saying, yes, let's get rid of, you know, our dignity and human rights. But a lot of people will, you know, a lot of people.
I hear Geneva is very beautiful in the springtime, and I imagine there might be a few people headed there this year to let the WHO know what they think about what they're attempting to do. Okay.
Yes.
Now, the crazy part of it, I started to say this, but then I got off on a little bit of the details. These are all unelected bureaucrats. They're all, you know, technocrats and experts and, you know, academics and things like that. None of them are elected, but they get together and they realized that they could take advantage of a deep flaw in the system. And that flaw is unelected people can choose to ignore the will of the people because there isn't an accountability. You know, it's not like you even know who the heck your delegation is.
No, right? I was wondering that before, actually. Is it a politician? Is it a World Economic Forum person? Is it, you know?
Exactly, right. And yeah. And so these people just decide because they're in a position that the way the system is structured, they are not obligated. They don't have any accountability. They don't have to ask, or at least they think they don't have to ask the people for their opinion. And so there's a group of folks who, you know, are going to get together in Geneva and decide if they, well, they won't decide because we're not going to let them. But, you know, they think they can give all power to one of their chosen few. You know, Tedros was chosen by unanimous, you know, unopposed, unanimous consent in 2022 for his second fifth year term as the director general. None of us had a say in any of that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so anybody who says, you know, the word democracy, right? In the United States, we don't have a democracy. We have a republic, and it's supposed to protect our rights. And we're supposed to have representatives that reflect our wishes, right? And I heard a wonderful interview with Senator Malcolm Roberts today. He was interviewed by Maria Z. And he, you know, it was beautiful. He at least understands that he's a public servant and his job is to reflect the will of the people. What we've experienced is our public servants somehow get the opinion that they're in a position to tell us what we're supposed to do. Okay. It's the other way around. They work for us, and it's been our fault, you know, collectively as people, to just let them get away with the things they've been getting away with for far too long.
Yeah. And Senator Roberts is quite an amazing orator, you know, when he is in Parliament and he just speaks, and he always thanks the public for giving him this position. And he always discusses exactly like what you just said. You know, he said, I am here for the people. I am here for, yes, He always starts like that in Parliament, which is wonderful.
What we have seen so far in the United States, in Canada, in Australia, is, you know, people trying to inform their, whether it's congressmen, parliamentarian, you know, members of parliament, senators, whatever it may be called, to raise the awareness of these public servants. And with a few exceptions, okay, but for the most part, not. The responses have been so condescending and so unaware, right? It's interesting how the people know what the details of the situation are. They send emails or letters or make phone calls to their public servants. Their public servants are completely unaware. And the whole point is, you know, we're trying to tell you that this is a problem that you need to pay attention to. Here are the documents. Clearly, they don't read the documents. They send back form letters that are very condescending. We've got a nice collection going. Okay. So anybody who's in Congress or Parliament or Senate or anything like that, you might want to talk to your aides before they send really uninformed, ill-informed responses back to their constituents, because you're basically giving us evidence as to how bad of a job you're doing. Okay. And so we've collected these, and what we realize is they just don't know what's going on. They have absolutely no idea what's going on. And they are certainly confusing anything to do with the treaty. Yes. With the amendments. And so everything I've spoken about is not about any treaty, right? These are amendments to existing regulations that, if they're simply adopted, they become international law. Okay. Now, each nation, whether or not they submitted amendments or voted for or against them or supported them or opposed them, right? If it were to be the case that they were adopted, each nation could simply write a letter, have the prime minister or maybe the foreign minister or whoever's authorized, and say to the WHO, you know, we see that you had all of these changes, these wonderful amendments to the regulations, but no, thank you. We reject them. And they would not apply to that nation. Okay. It really is that simple. After the fact, if they were adopted. But getting the political pressure upon a prime minister or a foreign minister to actually sign, you know, write that letter and sign it and send it. Yes. Okay. Each individual person should do that right now. Hey, WHO, you do not have my authority to make any of these changes to international law. I don't know who these delegates are that think they speak for me. I'm telling you right now, they don't. Okay, but what we had happen in May of last year was the state of Louisiana in the United States. Their assembly got together and they put forth, passed a referendum that essentially said to the WHO, whatever you think you're doing, it doesn't apply to Louisiana unless the people of Louisiana vote in favor of it. And so in the actual international health regulations, the United States, when the changes were made back in 2005, on page 60 and 61 of the current IHR, the U.S. stated very clearly to the WHO about the changes that were made then. Well, okay, great. You know, we'll accept these changes. But we're a federal government. And our federal government does not have authority over health-related issues. They didn't get that in the Constitution. Bill of Rights, the 10th Amendment, says anything that we didn't give to the federal government belongs to the states. And so they said in their letter whereby they approved or acceded to the changes in 2005, they said, well, you know, we'll talk to the states, but it's really up to them. Okay. And so we all need to know that they don't have the authority to give to the WHO. It's all hypnosis and confusion and propaganda and marketing and everything. Okay. And so every nation can say no, but it's trickier than that, because if it gets adopted, And Australia says, nope, we're out of here. Okay. Well, if every other nation on the planet is still demanding a vaccine certificate, a prevention certificate, they also want to have a testing certificate and a recovery certificate and a passenger locator form. If all of the other nations are instituting these lockdown control mechanisms, you're trapped. Now, you know, the United States or Australia might not be the most horrible place in the world to be trapped.
Yeah.
But if all of the other nations are asleep and allow this to happen, you know, then they're controlling the movement of people about the planet. And that's really what this is about. It's about surveillance, control, and money, because there's tons of money in Article 44A. They didn't put a number on it, and they said something very, I'll just say sketchy. They said, well, you know, we'll figure this out 24 months after you adopt it. And so there's no details of how much money, there's no details of where that money would go, where it would come from, how it would be distributed. Yeah, we'll let you know in a couple of years. We're going to accept something like that. It's just organized crime and money laundering and fraud on a massive scale that I actually see it as a blessing. I think that when people look at this and they say, what are these people in Geneva trying to do to take over our country?
Yes.
Okay. And it truly is the sort of globalist attitude of the elite who think they know everything, even though their advice failed miserably.
Yeah.
They want to have more power, more money, more control. And yes. So I would like to give you a little bit of a advanced view of an article that I've been working on for 5 weeks. And if I can, I'll share my screen.
Awesome.
Okay. So hopefully this will be published and this video will be right at the top of it. And so I've been working with a lot of folks in Australia. And so I'll be publishing this article shortly. And so I encourage everybody to go to AustraliaExitsTheWho.com. Even if you're not from Australia, go and see what everybody there is doing. And so, you know, the concern is that each nation is at the risk of losing their sovereignty because of what they're doing in Geneva.
Yes.
Okay. And so folks have put together a little tiny flyer that you can print out and share. It's got a little QR code on it. That's not your QR code that you need to travel about the world. just to raise awareness of it. I've put together a little 4-minute video that should give people a quick overview. And you know, for people who don't have...
So it's still staying on YouTube, is it?
So far, so good.
Okay.
So far, so good. Okay. Right. And so there are 10 main things that are really egregiously bad. I'll go through them really quickly. They want to change things from advisory to mandatory. We talked about potential rather than actual emergencies. They want to wipe out respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms. Talked about the allocation plan, where the director general could essentially tell nations to give products to other nations. All of the recommendations for drugs and injections would potentially be mandatory. They want to have global health certificates and testing certificates, you know, both in paper and digital form. There's one thing I haven't spoken about yet is there's an emergency committee, and it clearly says in Article 43 that if they didn't like an action taken by a given nation, that they could override it and their decision would be final. Okay. They don't really talk about the money. And, you know, very quietly on Annex 1 on page 36, they go, well, you know, we got to spend a bunch of money and give it to the WHO to deal with mis and disinformation. Okay. And so, you know, they clearly don't want anybody talking about the truth. And in Annex 10, they literally use the phrases, you know, phrase obligations of a duty to cooperate. And so it's essentially saying, they can tell nations what to do, right? Yeah. And so, you know, if you're all for these things, then, you know, get up there and promote the amendments to the regulations. But, you know, I haven't run into anybody yet. The only people who seem to be for it are those who are maybe going to benefit from it because they're in Geneva. And so all of the documents are right here. There's a 46 pages of the summary. It comes from 197 pages, all of the individual submissions from the various nations. And the original and the current IHR is 84 pages. And so these abbreviations, the WGIHR and the IHRRC, are the two groups that are supposedly negotiating this, and they just have not yet published the latest document. And so Senator Antic, Senator Roberts, Steve Dixon, and a number of people have already spoken out about this. And over my Christmas holidays, I did an hour and a half video with an article that has now been translated into 18 languages. And I encourage people to just watch that. It's kind of like an audiobook. You can read it, you can listen to it, you can watch it. It's all the same information.
Well done.
And people around the world have translated it into many languages. And I'm going to scroll down here a little bit more. There are many things that can be done. And so also an interview with Michael Gray Griffith and Meryl Dory, and Maria Z has done a number of interviews as well. So I encourage people to look that over. And getting out of the WHO essentially is just revoking the act that got Australia or United States or any other nation involved in the first place. It's possible to petition the government to take up this matter because they're being quiet about it. But people always say, hey, what can I do? Right. And so if you just scroll down here, maybe a third of the way down the page, there's many, many things that you can do. I think I've got a dozen actions right now. And, you know, not the least of which is just make a video, put it up on Twitter, put it up on YouTube, put it up on Rumble, put it wherever. Okay. And so we did this in September, and they all got posted up on screwthewho.com. And so if you want to see what other people around the world have had to say about the WHO, we collected a couple of hundred videos back then. I hope everybody takes it upon themselves. I was very impressed by the quality of the work that just regular people did. They just collected their thoughts and they said what they wanted to say. And almost everybody has a phone with a camera or a laptop with a video on it. People are doing selfie videos all the time, right? You know, TikTok or whatever. Hey, people, what are you waiting for? So there's a couple of social media accounts, you know, that people can do. There's templated emails with all of the information. And way down here, I've tried to make it easy for people. You can access the Twitter account, the Facebook account, the official government website, the capital and the local phone number and the email address of all of your public servants.
That's amazing.
Okay. They're all right here. Reach out to them and do them the favor of letting them know what they don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. The reality of it is they're probably completely in the dark. If they're not, that's horrible. Okay. If they do know about it, and they're not speaking up about it, that's horrible. But, you know, I come with an open heart and lead with love. It's like, hey, 99.99999% of people on the planet have no idea that the WHO is secretly trying to do this.
Yes.
So just, you know, knock on your neighbor's door, either literally or metaphorically, give them a phone call, give them a text message, a, you know, private message on whatever social media you use. And be kind and loving and you know, polite and go, hey, did you see this? Did you know that they're doing this? And if somebody says, oh, yeah, I know all about it, you go, oh, so, you know, what do you know?
Yes.
Okay. If they say they know and they do, that's wonderful. But there's a 99.99999% chance that they only think they know what they're talking about. And they haven't actually reviewed the information, and you'll be doing them a great favor by just raising their awareness.
Yes.
Now, once they become aware, then they have a choice to either be proactive or, and I pronounce this a little differently, ignorant. Not saying stupid, okay? It's a different word.
Yes.
Ignorant means you are aware, but you don't care.
Yeah,
you choose to, you're ignoring it, okay? Yeah. And so, real simple, ask everybody, are you in support of the proposed amendments to the International Health Regulations, or do you oppose them? Most people will just be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Why, you know, what is that? Okay.
Yes.
That's an honest answer. And if you get that honest answer, then you can inform them, ask them again what their opinion is. Okay. And so it's the kind of thing where they would love it to be that nobody talks about this. Nobody discusses it. Nobody is aware of it. It's just quietly moving along and gets adopted. And then after the fact, they would love to be able to say, well, you know, we told you it was there. It was on the website. Okay. You didn't say anything. And silence is consent. Okay. And so the beauty of it is because they're trying to keep it secret, they're talking about the treaty. So if you hear anybody say the word treaty, just go, wait, no. Wait. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I am not talking about a treaty. These are amendments to existing regulations. If you're talking about the treaty, you're falling for their decoy.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't talk about that. We're talking about this. That's separate. That's a problem. We'll deal with that. We're talking about this. Have you seen this, the proposed amendments to the regulations? And the beauty of it is, since they wanted to keep it hidden, they have not done the propaganda to get people to think that all of the stuff we're talking about is wonderful and good, and, you know, Tedros should be in charge of the world and everything will be great. You haven't seen that propaganda program. And so when the average person looks at this, their first response is, you know, what is this? I don't know what this is. But then they look at it and they can actually see it. And once they see it, I've never seen anything activate people on a guttural emotion, you know, oh, no way, right? And yeah. And so I'm very optimistic that this is actually a unifying opportunity where people who look at this will go, you know, and it becomes, I don't know if this is well known in Australia, but there's a old comedy routine, an Abbott and Costello routine.
Oh, yes.
About, you know, who's on first, and I don't know.
Who's on second, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, who is behind this? You know, who is responsible for this? Who would benefit from this, right? I hear these questions and I just go, yes, yes, yes. You know, the WHO would be the beneficiary of all of these new authorities and money and control and power. And so, you know, if that's what you want, if that's what you think would be the best thing for the world, by all means, you know, you're free to think whatever you want. But I don't agree. I don't think it's a good idea.
And I don't think most people can imagine them using it. Like a lot of people say, just because they implement these laws doesn't mean they're going to use them. And I think, why would they implement the laws?
Why would you change the definition of standing and temporary recommendations from non-binding advice and cross out the non-binding part? Why would you cross out respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms? Why would you say everybody's got to have a certificate to move about the world? You know, why would you set up funding for billions and billions of dollars and say that you're not going to say how they're going to be spent for 24 months? Okay. Why would you set up duties, you know, to cooperate where it says one nation has to build infrastructure in another nation at ports of entry? I wonder what you might be building at ports of entry. What could that possibly be? And so you can look at a lot of the language that they have in many of their documents. And yes, you can put rose-colored glasses on and go, oh, they would never do anything bad. You know, they're just trying to make the world a better place. But then you look at their history and you look at what the possibilities are. And you say, well, you know, you could word these things differently so that there wouldn't be any possibility of that. But when you look at the document and you see that the word shall is in there 263 times.
Right.
And in legal terms, shall means you must. Okay. It's not, you know, oh, hey, we're just trying to get along and get people to cooperate. And it'd be really great if we all work together to do these things. This is command and control headed towards medical martial law with a totalitarian dictatorship that's unelected running the world from Geneva. I'm not accepting that, and I never will.
Yes. No, yeah, and that's why I wanted to chat to you so much, because it scares the crap out of me here in Australia, because our health officers, who are unelected officials, have just been total crazy in the last 3 years.
Around the world, and I certainly have, you know, seen reports from Australia as well. You know, I really do, however, believe that this is just so blatantly obvious. Okay, you're not going to convince everybody, yes. And so I don't try to convince people. I present the information, try to raise their awareness. Maybe, you know, let me know, tell the person to give me a phone call, and let me do this right now. I give my phone call every time I do an interview. I'm in the United States, so the country code is probably +1, and I use Signal and Telegram and WhatsApp, and you can text me or whatever. But my phone number is 310-619-3055. All this information you can find on James Roguski, roguski.substack.com, but you can also go to stopthewho.com or screwthewho.com. You can also go to thepeoplesamendments.com to see what they should be doing. But the whole point is, be the media. Each and every person here can say whatever they want to say, make a video, post it on Twitter or any other social media platform or video platform that you can. You may bump into somebody who thinks that this is just a great idea. Okay. Don't deal with them. Tell them to give me a call. I'd love to hear their reasoning. I really mean that. Tell them to explain to me what they see that is beneficial in this that maybe I'm missing. Okay. But then go on and talk to somebody else and talk to somebody else, because the mistake that I see people making, we need to first find people who, when they're made aware of this, they will immediately go, oh my God, right? No way. If you spend all your time trying to convince somebody who refuses to be convinced, okay, you could have talked to 1,000 other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Spread the word to everybody. And then after you get to absolutely everybody, you can go around and talk to the people who are stubborn and don't want to hear it, but you won't need to, because you will have raised the awareness of everybody. And I'm very confident that once we do that, the numbers will be enormous. And there will always be an outlier. There will be some people who want that kind of control over everybody else. But if you just spread this information to people, that it's going to bring everybody together against, you know, a very small amount of people in Geneva that want to control the world.
Yes.
So yes. Don't keep it a secret. If you don't share this video, then you're the censor. You know, I don't, you know, however big your platform is, if this video isn't the most widely shared video you've ever had, then your viewers are not doing their job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
all you got to do is take the link to this video and share it. You know, how many people do you have a phone number for? Send them a text message, send them an email, and then call them up and say, hey, I sent you a text message and an email. You got to look at this.
Yes. Or include this with the exit the, you know, some of the little hashtags, you know, just sort of try to get it out there. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's just awareness of pending insanity or attempted insanity or, you know, attempted world takeover. At the very least, we'll start having discussions that should have been had 3 years ago and have been stifled ever since. And if people are afraid of discussion, they are the problem.
So what is your background? How did you even find this a year ago? How did you stumble across it?
almost exactly a year ago, February 7th, last year, I got an email from my web hosting provider. For decades prior to that, I had written books and done a lot of websites about natural health. And almost 17 years ago, I wrote a book entitled Your Doctor is a Liar. And I've always given it away for free. If you go to yourdoctorisaliar.com, you can have it. It's about cholesterol, and just, it's a lie that started in the 50s, and people mm-hmm. still believe the lie. And so I had numerous websites about COVID and all of the therapies and treatments and so forth. And they all got wiped out about a year ago.
Yes.
You know, I said some things that the internet company didn't want me to say. And so away it all went. No explanation.
Yes.
And so I ended up on Substack, which is a blogging / newsletter platform, and was doing some research. And I read an article and it said, oh, we obtained this document. And it was a hyperlink. And I clicked on it and started reading it, and got a shiver down my spine when I realized what it was. And it was the Biden proposed amendments, same thing, but last year. And I wrote an article about it, and my life has never been the same since.
Yeah.
In a good way. I've met a lot of wonderful people everywhere. We stopped Biden's amendments last year. I have every intent of doing the same with these. And I'm one of the few people hanging out in this area of the rabbit hole, which has all of the WHO documents. It is the year of the rabbit, so I guess digging down into the rabbit hole
perfect year for rabbit holes. Yes,
is appropriate thing. There's a lot of rabbit turds down here in the WHO wing of the rabbit hole. But all I've been doing is digging up their documents and reading them to find what they're attempting to do, and just saying, hey, people, did you see that? And so thanks for the opportunity to raise the awareness of your audience. I appreciate it.
No, that's wonderful. I did have one question. If you've seen somewhere about health and happiness used to be part of the World Health Organization, have they removed the word happiness from a goal for health worldwide?
I can't say that I know the answer to that. If they did or they didn't, they're not achieving that goal if that was supposed to be the goal. It is in the preamble of the constitution of the WHO, obviously, that, you know, health is a big part of it. But it also does clearly say, you know, that the people have to be involved. And so at the very least, right, why the secrecy? They talk about transparency. And I think it was in July, they had a week. They were supposed to have week-long meetings that were going to be live-streamed.
Yes.
And so they had meetings on Monday and Tuesday that were live-streamed. And then Wednesday, they just disappeared. And Thursday, they just disappeared. They went into hiding and they had private meetings. And then at the end of the day on Thursday, for half an hour, they came back with a little tiny thing. They ended up not meeting on Friday. And they had this little half-hour video on Thursday where they were so very proud of how transparent they are, because they were now going to tell everybody what they had decided in secret for the past 2 days. And you just go, you know, how can you twist your mind around into thinking that that is actually transparency? Transparency would have been, you would have videotaped the discussions, right? So they just changed the meanings of words, and they use that to their own benefit. You know, the word pandemic or vaccine or safe and effective or case, or so many, many, many other words, are not legally defined. So I do my best to not use them. And I'm doing everything I can to steal back some of the language, okay? They don't legally use the term pandemic. They talk about a public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, or FAKE. Yes. So when they declare a FAKE, right, you should realize that they're declaring a fake, right? But I've stolen it, and I use that acronym to refer to what the other fake is, which they treat ailments not with things that cure people, but with poisons that create new illnesses. And all that they're doing is trying to set up a legal framework to funnel money into the bigger fake, which is the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex.
Yes.
All of these billions of dollars are ideally, according to them, going to be funneled into that industry to dump money into relatively less wealthy nations in return for their vote to get them the power to control that money to direct it in that direction. And so anybody who looks at it, you know, just sees money laundering and crony capitalism and organized crime and fraud and, you know, just nothing to do with health. They have no discussion of, you know, any of the doctors who save thousands and thousands of lives. They're not involved in these discussions because they're really not the international health regulations. They're the international surveillance, monitoring, and control regulations. And once you realize that, then it's all horrible, but it all makes sense.
Yes.
Right? Because you go, why are they doing this? Right? It's because, well, they can't, or they think they can. And this is where they feel they can institute worldwide control over everybody. They were hoping to do it without anybody noticing.
Yeah.
But everybody is going to know about this if everybody else spreads the word.
Yes, absolutely. In your, and I know you're a positive person, but in your worst nightmares, like I know you say about control, and I know what I think that means, but can you sort of describe what that could mean if they, you know,
I will let other people go there. I don't go there.
Okay.
It is not going to happen. Not in my world, not in my lifetime. You know, I plan on living as long as imaginable.
Yes.
And so I will not live in that kind of world. Right. And so it,
no,
that
it's
will
a very fearful and angry world. You know, it is
will,
totally
only,
without control. Yeah.
Right? That will only happen if people let it. And I think that because they've been so blatant,
yeah,
and these documents are so obviously ridiculously bad, okay, it's actually a blessing. And so
yes.
I'll take the blessing from heaven that got them to overreach and, quite frankly, make enormous mistakes by allowing this information to be put in our hands so that we could see it. And, you know, there may be people who have eyes and cannot see and ears and they cannot hear, but I trust that the vast majority of people, if they will simply look at this, watch the 100 reasons and see why, you know, they might oppose this, I think it's going to unify people against this attempted worldwide coup.
Yeah.
And, you know, we certainly have the numbers.
Because I think they would have been much further along if people like you weren't standing up. If there weren't people speaking out for the last 3 years, you know, which has obviously been the biggest attempted takeover that we've had.
You know, you cannot blame or give credit to an enormous flood on any raindrop, okay? It's everybody who's done everything that they possibly could all together. You know, at some point, you know, raises the level of everybody's awareness. You know, some people every day, they're dripping out some truth, right? And some people have a fire hose, right? And, you know, I have kind of like a laser beam. I'm focused on, you know, the WHO and this. But there have been millions of people, literally, who have spoken their truth around the world. And everybody else can, okay? You can, at any point in time, get out your camera on your phone or your computer or just write. I mean, you know, people take a piece of paper and just take a photograph with whatever they have to say. There were people who did videos where their hat was hiding their face because, you know, they were a little concerned about being targeted. There were other people who just did that with their camera and,
yes,
and they did a video and it's just your spoken word. You can do, back in April, we got in about 6 days, they had a public comment period. We got 33,884 people to submit comments.
Wow.
To the WHO. You know, it's doable.
Yes.
Okay. And it's, you know, people say, well, you know, what does it matter? Well, just think about any flood. You know, if you were that raindrop coming down from the sky going, oh, what does it matter? I'm just a raindrop, right? but you get enough of you together, you got a flood that cannot be stopped. And that's what I think where we are, right?
Yes.
And the deluge of action from people from this, okay? Once people see this and they start speaking their truth, it's going to be absolutely unstoppable.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, James. That's been really awesome. I'll do a quick little edit and I'll send you copies of this and we can share it around. Share it around.
No, I appreciate your time very much. Beautiful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a fabulous day.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Okay. And you know what? Can we do an addendum? Because I just remembered something.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And we're still recording, so if you could
slice
it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, after the fact, I remembered that twice a day, I can give you the time where I reside, Pacific time, at noon and 7 p.m. here in California. I have a Zoom meeting that everybody is invited to. And so noon my time probably doesn't work. It's quite early in the morning the next day in Australia.
4 or 5 a.m. maybe.
Right. And depending upon where you are. But the 7 p.m. Pacific time every day is midday, 11 to 1 or so in Australia. And so everyone is invited to go to my Substack, jamesroguski.substack.com, and find the big blue article that says Zoom, you know, daily meetings. And most likely the midday meeting would work for people. 7 days a week. So, you know, whatever your schedule might permit. I found that, you know, everybody has questions.
Yes.
And I'm more than happy to do what I can to answer them. So at 7 p.m. Pacific time, it'll probably be the next day, middle of the day in Australia, or, you know, wherever you may be in the world. Be more than happy to meet with everybody and answer whatever questions they may have. And, you know, a lot of people come with great ideas, and great. If you have a great idea, we'll work to implement it.
Yes.
It is a, you know, two-way street.
You're working with some amazing people like Dr. Rima Labo and, yep. You know, there's some good work being done out there to share the information.
Absolutely. And all of the work that folks have done in Australia and everywhere else around the world, because this is a worldwide problem. It's not just the United States or not just Australia.
And it's not just the 194 nation, the member countries, is it? Like,
well,
it's
going to
affect everyone. If
it's going to affect everyone. And you know, even if some nations attempt to opt out, you know, we're all on this planet together. And so if some people in some nation are unaware, you know, we owe them a duty to do what we can to raise their awareness, because it's being kept a secret from them. And until everybody knows and has an opportunity to put their voice out about this, I'm just going to keep talking about it. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Sharing love and light. Good on you.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, James.
Okay. Bye.